My wife and I were married for 34 and a half years. We divorced, and we are working on reconciliation. And right now, everything is going along real good. We're getting along good. But there's still something in me that says that we shouldn't go beyond this point till we seek out counseling for what ruined the marriage in the first place.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. And today we're going to get unstuck in marriage, and you got to make some intentional decisions. There's two or three things you can do, and I'm going to tell you what they are here in just a minute.
Welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Andy Carlson. He's a husband and father, best-selling author, and your advocate for the family. Our lines are open at 1-888-888-1717. That's 1-888-888-1717. Now from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, here's Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. I appreciate it. You know, we're thinking about getting unstuck in marriage. Let's be honest. We all do kind of stupid things, you know, in life. Money, parenting, jobs, life, just decisions we make. But when it gets into marriage, listen, we can really shoot ourselves in the foot. And we're going to get to Jim here in just a moment and others who are calling. But one of the things you got to do is know what went wrong in the first time or what's going wrong so you can fix it. In fact, you can't set a goal to make something better until you know what's wrong. You can't fix the problem in your engine in your car until you know what the thing is that's broken. You don't want to, replace the alternator when the problem is the radiator. And so let's get intentional by, first of all, thinking about defining what the problem is very clearly and objectively, not just as their problem, and then agreeing together as a couple to work on. I think that's the theme to get unstuck today. You want to get out of the ditch? You better know how you got there in the first place after you get out so you don't go back in again. We'll get to Jim and Sam and Ron and Sarah and others here in just a minute.
I'm listening to Marriage Mondays on the radio. I'm 22, and I'm currently in the process of separation and not quite sure if it's heading towards divorce yet, but I'm wanting to turn everything around, and I've started to learn I can live with God and through God and know that whether these things work out or not, I'm not willing to give up, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to fix it and get closer to God and make my relationship a lot better.
Hi, this is Regina from Dalhart, Texas. I was just listening to your radio show today about intentional living. I think I should be more intentional about my marriage. We've been separated for now about 10 months. I'm just kind of laying back, and I think I need to be more intentional, and I just want to call and tell you I listen to you every day, and thank you. Bye.
Hi, Dr. Randy. My name's Nicole. I attended your conference that you gave in Lansing, Michigan in October, and I have faith in our Lord that my husband's salvation will come when it is time and ready in the Lord's time. What I'm intentionally doing in my life is loving him every single day as I am meant to love him.
Randy Carlson here at the Intentional Living Center. Let's go to Sam on the line in Arizona. Sam, welcome to the program today.
Yeah, hi, Randy.
Appreciate your call. What is it that is your question today?
My wife and I have just been separated recently, not even a week. And I've questioned her over the past year if she's been faithful to me in the process. She's told me she has, but it's kind of drove her away from me.
Because you don't believe her.
Because I haven't believed her. I believe her now because I've let go of everything that was on my heart and let her know what was on my heart. And in the process, I've hurt her. I'm just praying for healing in our marriage and that our relationship will be mended back together.
Is she going to allow that to happen with counseling, the two of you?
Yeah, we went to counseling a few times.
A few times and then stopped?
We had four sessions with a counselor, and yesterday was one of the sessions, and the counselor said, well, maybe we should continue on from here doing individual counseling.
Okay.
But she hasn't really agreed or disagreed to do that. She still wants to think about it and see how she feels.
So she's not committed to progressing with the marriage at this point?
That's correct. She's not sure if this is really what she wants out of life.
Okay. Well, and, Sam, this is, first of all, I'm sorry. I mean, this is, you know, terrible. And I've talked to a lot of men. I think men really, really wrestle with this. And there's a lot of abandonment and there's a sense of loneliness and loss. And we want to fix things as men. We want to make things better. And we can get too controlling or we can get groveling. We can go to either extreme. We want to control, or we want to just, you know, do whatever it takes to fix it. That tends to be our male model of fixing problems when they're in a crisis. And I think this is an opportunity for you, Sam, to really get before God. And I mean, in prayer, get guys around you that you trust. Really pray about what's going on in your life, what causes you to have the kind of distrust you had, or what's going on in your own life that causes some of the issues that have contributed to this. In other words, take care of yourself, heal yourself, work on yourself, get into counseling for yourself. So frankly, you become the kind of man that you would be crazy not to want to be married to. And I think there's a very intentional goal for you, is to work on yourself to become irresistible. For not just to get her back, but for yourself. To be that kind of guy that would be honoring God so much in your life that, hey, people say, hey, you know, I want to be like Sam.
Right.
That makes sense?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, can I pray with you?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
All right. Father, I do pray for Sam. This gentleman's 1 week into a separation. You know the outcome. We don't. We hear the desire of his heart for a reconciliation. We don't know if that's going to occur, but what we do know is that you are more than willing to move in Sam's heart and to strengthen him, to help him be restored in his confidence and courage and walk with you. And I pray that that'll happen, that you'll be close to him, minister to him and to his wife, that ultimately the two of them can be restored with a testimony of your grace and your mercy and your love and forgiveness in Christ's name. Thank you for calling today, Sam. We'll be praying for you, my friend.
Thank you, Randy.
Okay. Bye-bye. We go next to Jim, who is on the line in Florida today with a question. Hi there, Jim. Welcome to the program.
Hi, sir. I just had a question for you. My wife and I were married for 34 and a half years.
Mm-hmm.
We divorced in June. It was final. And we are right now working on reconciliation.
Hmm.
And right now everything is going along real good. We're getting along good. But there's still something in me that says that we shouldn't go beyond this point until we seek out counseling
I would agree.
What ruined the marriage in the first place.
Absolutely. Now, in 34 years of marriage, Jim, was there a pattern of being up and down? Was there a pattern maybe where had you been separated before or had problems and then get back together, that kind of thing?
Yes, sir. Just for a couple of days, though. I think about twice.
All right. So you've had a couple times where you had to part, and then all of a sudden it's kind of like you're back together. But did you ever get to the bottom of what caused you to be apart for a couple of days?
No, sir. That's our problem.
Yeah. And now it's just the big apart. It's the ultimate, the divorce. Did you initiate it or did she?
I did.
Okay.
She did not want it, but she did. She signed the papers anyway because she knew I did.
And why did you want the divorce?
Well, there was no trust, no communication, no intimacy. And I'm not talking about just sex, but intimacy itself was gone.
Uh-huh.
It just felt my heart had dried up.
All right, so you were...
Felt like there was nothing. And we tried to talk about something, and she said, well, if you're going to do that, we might as well get a divorce.
All right.
And she had said that before, because mm-hmm. and it's not her, it's just our communication wasn't that good.
All right, so there's not another person, there's not abuse, there's not alcohol, there's not drugs, there's just, you guys, as our culture would say, you fell out of love.
Right.
All right, you grew apart, you went different. Okay, well, Jim, first of all, the fact that you initiated the divorce, now you're saying you want to, you know, you're interested in reconciling, you know, I think you use this as an opportunity. I've talked to hundreds of couples over my career who have been divorced and remarried, but I'll tell you, the ones that don't work are the ones that just jump back into the marriage just because they're lonely or they think they should do that. You have an opportunity right now. Yeah, you have an opportunity for the two of you to say, hey, 34 years, hasn't been the best, we've had problems, this is the ultimate blowout of the tire, as it were. You know, it's kind of like in the past you had slow leaks and you'd pump air back into it. Now you got a blowout and in time to get the tire fixed before you move down the road. So I would really encourage you to take the lead in saying to your ex-wife, look, if we're going to have a reconciliation, we're going to have to do it right. And we're going to have to get with a counselor that has experience in dealing with couples and reconciliation, a Christian, preferably, in my opinion. That someone can lead you through your, you know, with your Christian values to say, how do we make this marriage work? and start a very, very slow process. Keep all other people out. Don't get involved with anybody else. Don't gossip. Don't go out and tell all your friends about your ex-wife's problems and hers about you, because I'll tell you, experience that creates a problem later on. Keep it between you guys and a counselor. Get some help. Get a pattern and a path and some kind of standard policies that you're going to follow during the time you're in counseling, and take it one day at a time, and ask God to reveal His will for you guys as you move forward, and trust Him.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Is that something that sounds reasonable to you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I was thinking along those lines, and I had mentioned it to her, and of course, she's all for it. She's ready. I mean, she's more than willing to reconcile, and I am too. I just think we need to take care of the problem that caused the separation in the first place.
Exactly. Keep this word picture. Guys, we get this word picture. You've had a blowout. You've been going down the road, and the tire has blown out. And you are now parked on the side of the road, and you got the jack up, and you're ready to change tire. This is a time, as you get that tire fixed, to really know what the problem is. And fix it, fix it, fix it, fix it. Because some people, what they'll do is they'll just keep going along with a slow leak forever and keep pumping air into it. But when you got a blowout, it's kind of a word picture of an opportunity to make things better. We'll be praying for you, Jim, that you do. Appreciate your call.
My husband found himself not able to forgive me with what I call like normal marital conflict. He came to me and said, "Hun, I am going to start a new daily habit, and I'm going to pray in the Spirit for 30 minutes every day." Let me tell you, it has produced a miracle in our marriage. His attitude toward me, his tone, he's been able to forgive. He's been able to resolve unresolved issues. It's just brought a closeness and intimacy to our relationship that I've always wanted and I've always craved. And not only that, it's inspired me to do better. So now I'm picking up this habit and I'm going to try it. It just brings Christ right into the center of even our conflict. And we are doing better than ever.
Wow, good for you. Doesn't it feel good? Doesn't it feel good to hear Kendra's story? It did to me. I mean, here's a woman that's saying, "Hey, my husband and I, you know, can I say it? We got intentional. We took responsibility. We realized that things aren't working. We're stuck in this ditch. We're going to make it better, and we're going to do something." You know, personal development. I taught a class this morning about personal development. Personal development is taking action. It's not about just reading about things or hearing about things or saying, "Well, I'd like to have that for me." It's actually taking action. That's what Kendra and her husband did, and you can do it too in your marriage. To get unstuck, you got to hook the chain up to the vehicle and drag it out of the ditch. And I think that image is sort of what we have to do in marriage. Sometimes we've got to drag it out of the ditch and say, "Hey, we can do better, and let's get going." That's living intentionally. And you know what? This message, unique, action-oriented, biblical, life-changing, we've seen the results in thousands of lives, is only made possible on the radio and in our ministry because of people like you, and maybe you, for supporting the ministry as a member. And God bless you. Thank you for standing with us in support of the ministry. You would do it. And now every month, I get a chance to do something really cool. I get to record a brand new teaching for you, comes to you to say thanks for your support. And in the month of February, it's on getting mad enough to change. I talk about what does it mean to get mad enough to change. That's our topic coming up. So thank you for your support. Come join us at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Andy Carlson. How would you like to be the recipient of all the collective wisdom of the Intentional Living family? Well, then join our Facebook family today. Go to theintentionallife.com and click on the Facebook icon. Again, that's theintentionallife.com. Dr. Andy's got more for getting your marriage unstuck. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
She kisses me every day before we leave for work, even if she's mad at me.
Every Saturday morning, he gets up and makes everyone breakfast.
How does your affection for your spouse make your marriage better?
We do devotions together.
Start for Affection by Dr. Randy Carlson can help you develop that essential active ingredient in marriage, the affection that demonstrates love.
I've never felt closer to him.
Order Start for Affection today at theintentionallife.com.
In our social media crazed world, isn't it nice that there's a place to encourage your intentional life?
I find something new every morning when I visit.
I get great nuggets of encouragement. Some of the comments are amazing.
The Intentional Living Facebook page is here for you to help you stay intentional, to encourage you, and let you know that in your walk, you're really not alone.
It's the one place on Facebook I actually like seeing show up on my wall.
Find out what's on today's show and join the conversation. Go to facebook.com/intentionalliving and click like today.
Our lines are still open, 1-888-888-1717. And this is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Andy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Randy.
Hey, thanks, Kurt, and welcome back to the Intentional Living Center. We're talking about getting unstuck in marriage, or getting your marriage unstuck if you're stuck today. And appreciate your comments. You're welcome to join us online at theintentionallife.com, Facebook/intentionalliving, or at the IL Center when you on Twitter, right? You can join us, and we appreciate hearing from you. Let me mention, we got something really neat coming up at the end of May at the Biltmore, beautiful place in Phoenix. And it's going to be for families in business, those of you who have a family business. Got a great conference coming. The head honcho, the chairman and CEO of Ping Corporation, you know, the golf club folks, he's going to be sharing their fantastic story. We got some wonderful workshops, and I'm going to be speaking as well. And if you want to come to our website, we'll be having information up real soon at theintentionallife.com.
My name is Jessica, and I'm in Illinois. And I enjoy listening to your program and some things I'm doing intentionally to live a godly life, trying to be intentional with my marriage, being strong, trying to be supportive with my husband and all the many jobs he's in, and that's what I'm doing to be intentional.
Hi, Dr. Randy. This is Nancy in Kansas. One thing that we're doing to intentionally grow our faith is not to worry anymore about our finances. We work hard and we do our best to be good stewards of the money. When there are things that we need, that if we pray and believe God, He has provided every time. Miracle after miracle we can tell you about. So we have just intentionally said that we will no longer worry about our finances. We trust God and we watch Him do great things.
My name is John, and my intentional living is basically putting God first in my life rather than my family. God was always there in the background, but I always kept Him second. And as a result, the old devil figured out a way to get in there and mess with my marriage a little bit. So my wife and I decided to make that step. We've been reading every day together and praying every day. Just in the last couple weeks, it's amazing what He's already done for our relationship.
Randy Carlson here at the Intentional Living Center. And we go to Ron, who's on the line in Arizona as we talk about marriage. Ron, what's one thing that you could do to become the change you want to see in your marriage?
Well, Dr. Randy, I've been following you for 6 years on the radio as I can catch you when I'm working.
Good.
And I've worked on my marriage for a long time now. I've tried asking my wife, like you suggested, what one thing could I change, knowing that I've got many things to change. So I try to pick one thing at a time to change. I ask her what shows her that I love you. What do I say or what I do that shows you I love you? And I'm kind of at a loss here now where our intimate relationship has always been lacking in so much depth that we've sat down, I've talked to her, I've explained to her what I need and what I'm looking for, and I cannot get this through to her, and I don't know. It lasts for about a month or so that she tries, and then it just goes right back to the same thing that we're having, and I don't know how to fix this. I don't know what I can do to get her to desire me, to want me.
You know, when you think of that question, Ron, what could I do to make her desire me more? There's a lot of men and women who are probably thinking the same thought today. Where's the button to push, the switch, the word, whatever? But we're talking about the most intimate of relationships. We're talking about the core of that intimacy in a relationship that's built around love and attraction and affection. And it's built about being physically and mentally and emotionally healthy, having good experiences from the past that allow us to be healthy in a relationship. And over the years, as I've observed marriages, when they run into the area of sexual problems, many times it can, you know, it can be a simple thing of, you know, there's a physical problem or too stressed or the kids are in the exhaustion, you know, just the things that happen to keep us from having time and being in that kind of a, you know, mood, as it were. But sometimes it goes more deep. Maybe it's a personal issue going on in a person's life or things that have not been healed from the past or hurts that have occurred from their childhood. I think for you, Ron, is to move forward in your intentional living is to take care of yourself in terms of your own emotional well-being, your spiritual well-being, having reasonable expectations for your wife. I would encourage the two of you, or certainly herself, maybe to get into counseling. This is an important matter. It's a biblical matter we read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And I think it's worthy of counseling for the two of you to just get into counseling, or she get into counseling by herself, to unpack what are some of the roadblocks that are keeping her from desiring you, or desire, is it desire in general, and a medical check as well. I think those are some of the intentional steps she can take, or you can encourage her to take in her own life.
Okay.
Will she do that? Will she do it?
She's been to counseling. In fact, you know, when I started listening to you 6 years ago when I had so many issues that I had asked for a divorce, and I've been working so long on this that we've gotten over the other hurdles, and I just can't seem to. And it's been 23 years of this, married with her like this, and I can't.
Well, there, I'll tell you right now that you have caught the interest of a lot of listeners who have never breathed that about their own marriage. But I'm telling you right now, this is a pervasive problem that I've heard in marriages and talking to people over the years. It's not a simple fix. It's not a button. It's not a word. It's not even, quote, being intentional. It's in terms of being intentional. It's intentional getting to the root issues, the root causes, the root problems, the root roadblocks to whatever's going on, and dealing with those, because without that, it becomes increasingly difficult. We'll be praying for you, Ron. Appreciate your call today. We go to Sarah on the line in Arizona. Sarah, welcome to the program. What's your question today?
I love your program, The Intentional, about living intentionally. Mm-hmm. And I would love to apply intentional actions to marriage specifically. The barrier that I have is not knowing how to, sorry, it's kind of emotional for me.
It's okay.
There's been affairs and things that have occurred in our marriage, and ups and downs, probably more downs than ups. After the last incident, which we had been going to counseling in the midst of it when it was found out again, I just stopped everything.
Yeah.
And basically am married, but just dead in the marriage.
Well, what is your husband, had the affairs?
The most recent ones, yes.
And how about you?
I have had an affair in the past, yes. We've been together about 10 years, so it seemed like it flip-flopped back and forth. And when I had thought we were making some traction, we were in marriage counseling through our church. It wasn't easy by any means. It wasn't like every session was roses. But to me, it was giving light to progress, you know, whether
sure.
it was going to happen in a year or 3 years.
Well, do both of you want this marriage to work? I mean, have you both acknowledged we want this marriage to work?
Yes. And, well, not since I've kind of given up. No, not on my part. But
okay, but your husband wants to make it work.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, Sarah,
and that's
listen.
That's where I struggle, because I'm hearing that, but then actions don't match up.
Absolutely. And that's the whole thing. You know, you can have words, and words are cheap. And we tell parents, for instance, words are cheap even in parenting. It's the follow-through. It's the loving, you know, discipline, holding kids accountable, and the things that kids respect, not just words. And we use words sometimes, and they don't matter all that much. Sarah, listen, I've been in this in a long time. I've been working with families a long time, and I have yet to find it work where two people in a marriage has a third person, and there's an affair going on that violates God's intention. One man, one woman for a lifetime. That's what we believe the Scripture teaches. And in terms of having an affair, when we get a third person into that relationship, it doesn't work. Now, obviously, we believe in forgiveness. We believe in restoration. We know that doesn't always happen. Sometimes because of an affair, there's such a breach in the relationship, it doesn't seem to ever heal. And people, for whatever number of reasons, that just doesn't get fixed. It just doesn't get healed. It doesn't get forgiven. We don't move on. There's not a growth. There's a stuckness that occurs. And when that happens, it's a very sad picture, but it happens many times, unfortunately. I think for the two of you, Sarah, you know, so your question today is, you know, how do you become the person that you want your marriage to be? I think it's really the two of you in this case, your husband and you, being willing to come to the table before God and say on your knees, as it were, hey, Lord, we've blown it. We have failed you and each other. We choose today to move forward in obedience to you, living intentionally for you, putting aside those things which distract and destroy us, and to show affection and love only to each other, and then to get to the root of whatever the causes are, whatever the emotional, relational, just what they are, changing habits, changing goals, being intentional in making the marriage work. And unless those things can happen, and do happen, Sarah, you're going to continue to remain stuck, which you know, is not God's intention. Tell you what, if you hold on, I'd like to send you my book, Starved for Affection.
Okay.
There's some, you know, really practical chapters in there in terms of the kind of thing you're talking about when it becomes an issue. So hang on. I'm going to have Steve get your address, and we're going to send you a Star for Affection.
This is a second marriage for us, for both of us. And we talked about everything before we made this decision. I mean, we settled a lot of questions before they ever came up. You know, our family wasn't blended. It was more like scrambled. And, you know, who's going to discipline? Who's going to mind the checkbook? Who's going to decide what to do about what? Those kinds of things.
Christ is the center of our marriage. We both love and honor Christ. Our desire is to grow in our knowledge of Him. And as we grow in our knowledge of Him, we're able to love Him more. And it's through that love of Christ that we are empowered to love each other.
Well, our secret, I think, is our commitment to Christ and to each other. And we've weathered a lot of severe storms with that commitment.
One of the things it says, they made a list of what they didn't like about each other and a list of what they liked and burned the list they didn't like and stuck with the things they liked.
Well, that's great. Those are great thoughts and good advice for us. Wrapping up the program, I'll tell you, this half hour, I mean, we fill it from the very moment of the theme ending, beginning to the end, with good things for you. I mean, we try to put as much in this half hour as possible. We don't try to put fluff in. We just don't have, time's too short. And I just hope you appreciate it, and thank you for joining us. And I just got to be honest, your support is desperately needed to allow us to do this, and I thank you for it when you come join us at theintentionallife.com. Hey, do you know someone who's passive-aggressive in your life? Well, we're going to talk about what do you do with that intentionally when you have someone. What do you do when you get blindsided and you're walking in the dark after a loss, a death? We've got a story coming on the upcoming program. And then intentional grandparents, all from this place called the Intentional Living Center. And we'll see you here next time.